Welcome back, everybody. It is just 8:39, and I should hopefully have Gail on the line with me. Do I have Gail?
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. All right, well, thank you for joining me this morning. Now, some latest news that you some might have already read this morning on CBC, I think that Manitoba won't live up to its former goals to the Kyoto Protocol. And now you're included here. So, why don't you tell me about the story and how it.
Will do. Sure. It's a little bit odd timing, but basically, Minister Chomiak, who may or may not be Minister for Climate Change over time, because right now he's holding sort of a caring about a triple kind of portfolio in terms of cabinet since the election. But he's basically publicly indicated that Manitoba is not going to meet its Kyoto emissions reduction pledge, to use the terms here by CBC. And this has sort of been known that we were in trouble on these emissions reductions in Manitoba since the Auditor General reported thoroughly earlier this year. Okay, so he's basically said that. He's indicating that they'll be rededicating themselves to the goal and to it reducing emissions overall. The thing that's sort of a little bit odd is the timing. And that's what I wondered when I opened this up, because we have the United Nations climate negotiations going on in Durban, South Africa, right now. And we have the international embarrassment of our federal government announcing that they're going to step right out of and away from Kyoto. And today, this morning in the news, we have Manitoba saying that, admitting that we're not going to meet our Kyoto targets at all.
Now, had the Governor General not, or Auditor General, sorry, not done the audit on the climate initiatives, do you think we'd be seeing this story today?
Well, it's hard to tell in terms of the workings of government, but certainly it's been very, very clear since the Auditor General's report. I mean, she said a variety of things, including that there was too many programs and too many different departments to actually know what was going on with climate change policy and emissions reduction. She also said that so far our provincial government was working with estimates and projections of data rather than actually being able to account for specific reductions in emissions and greenhouse gases. So I think that's a fair question. And again, in the CBC coverage, Mr. Chomiak is saying that, that they'd be rededicating themselves. These are his words rather, excuse me. We'll rededicate ourselves with new actions and new measures in the new year, and we'll proceed from there. So if that's so, borrowing from the Auditor General, it's fairly important for Manitoba to actually start counting, having, carbon budgets and inventory and real transparency in terms of what emissions are going up and what's coming down.
Now, in the legislation, Manitoba is supposed to report its process and report its progress as of the 31st of this month. Is this that report, the report that we're failing?
Well, I guess the question would be, and you can't tell from the CBC coverage whether they're going to report or not. The larger question is, what are they going to do about the Act? So there were some significant measures in the Climate Act that's from 2008 that hadn't been proclaimed yet, and then they were fairly recently finally proclaimed. So you can have a bill in the legislature, and when it passes, then you actually have to proclaim how it's going to operate and when things become law. So some parts of it had never been proclaimed as law, and I think they recently did that. So it's a little confusing. It's hard to know what's going to happen, but maybe an obvious statement would be that, what are they going to do about the law? Are they going to change the law?
Now, the Auditor General pointed out that there are a lack of targets beyond 2012,
That's right.
and that the government our government hasn't come close to achieving any of the goals, and with no way to turn around the failure. So who can we hold accountable?
Well, that's a very good way of asking it. We are in what was a Kyoto-friendly province. Mm-hmm. So Massa was one of the first jurisdictions in the country to basically step up and say, we can meet those targets. We're going to reduce our emissions. And our former premier was very supportive of the federal government basically signing on to the Kyoto Protocol internationally. Mm-hmm. So who do we point the finger at? This is a good question. It's obviously our government perhaps not being organized enough about this, not being having the will and the technical inclination, because this takes a lot of tech. And then, of course, the Auditor General saying there's just sort of programs all over the place in different departments and so on is fairly important reality for the government. So maybe we're going to have some new programs, some new, as he says, rededication to all of this, but who do we blame?
Yeah, well,
it's sort of obvious we haven't done this, and this is probably the biggest single all-encompassing issue of our time that affects almost everything to do with the natural world, and of course almost everything to do with business and industry, and we need a much better plan and strategy, and we certainly need to get the technical know-how and support to be able to get on with this. We also need to stop relying on the federal government inventory for greenhouse gases, because in Manitoba, it's just a handful of sites that actually are technically supposed to report. So we need a whole another way.
Now, even if we could blame somebody, I mean, what would come of it? I mean, we can't do anything about our lack of organization. Now, given that there were so many programs and that they weren't tracked, were there any that you would say that are worth continuing to invest in?
Oh, I believe that there's a whole lot of measures in terms of emissions from moving vehicles.
Yeah.
That need attention in Manitoba. I was a little perplexed when the decision was made to raise the speed limit on our four-lane highways, because that's, of course, more emissions.
Right.
So
slower
really,
is better.
Yeah, that's right. Slower is better. That was a decision made somewhat out of the blue and somewhat contrary to the... there's an advisory council reviewing everything to do with transportation at the time. Mm-hmm. So there's some reductions in emissions that happen just as a result of, for instance, the cars people are buying, where Manitobans are buying cars that have fewer emissions. There's other things going on in the province that dramatically reduce emissions, and that is all the retrofits and energy efficiency measures, whether people are doing them on their own or they're using PowerSmart, what have you. So there are areas to really concentrate on, but it really does also mean we have to figure out how we're going to make sure we know how much carbon we've got in the first place, and make sure that when we make significant policy or licensing decisions, that we know how many emissions we're losing up. And that's a reference to the fact that we're very carbon rich in the province because of all of our lands and waters, mm-hmm. but we haven't had any way to be take what we're holding in trying not to have emissions from into account when we make significant decisions. And that goes to road building, bridge building, dam building, everything to do with forestry.
Now, in the past, are the Beyond Kyoto suggested that we could be the lowest emitter economy in all of the continent. Do you think that's possible? Do you think it's still possible?
Oh, I think yes. And I believe that we need to, you're asking the right questions for sure this morning, and that is we need to be thinking about the solutions, about what's possible and feasible in Manitoba. We need to be thinking about the uniqueness of our situation and what we can do to reduce emissions, including what we can do in incentives and in supporting individual decisions, whether that be a company, a business, a hotel owner, a residence, a school. I think our public sector, in terms of all of our public buildings and operations, has a huge potential to reduce emissions. We just need to get to it and get at it. And by that, and when I say public sector, I mean every you know, universities, hospitals, every building that is part of the government or funded by the government in the province. There's, you know, there's lots that can be done. And I think it's better to be thinking about the solutions and how to get this done than to just sit down and go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Right?
And, well, the Auditor General did point that out, saying that we need to assess the assess the government's assess where the government does put out carbon and where it could cut back on it.
Yeah, no, she is one of the few investigations or audits done through her office in the last year where she actually chose the topic. You know, their mandate is very clear in terms of required audits and things that they have to do each year. So in our office, we were very pleased to see that she did this. I would add to what you're pulling from her report, and I guess this is the environmentalist talking this morning, but I would add that we really do need to protect the carbon we've got in place in our forests, in our soils, in our waterways, that needs to be an ingredient in every decision we make.
And while it needs to stay there.
That's right. That's right. And we are carbon rich any way you look at it. You know, that may sound like a funny kind of expression when the first time I used it a couple of minutes ago, but we are.
It does.
And that's one of the reasons why this is possible. I also have a really high estimation of Manitobans. Again, whether they're business owners or commuters, or we're talking about people's homes or their cottages or how they drive their cars or what car they choose to drive. You know, I think Manitobans are perhaps underestimated so far in terms of how the province has been and the provincial government has been approaching emissions reduction and climate policy, and that Manitobans often just start, you know, with the right kind of information in hand and the right kind of acknowledgement of their activities, they'll get on with it.
Mm-hmm. So I kind of worried at first that since the federal government has decided to pull out of any extension of the Kyoto Protocol, that perhaps we might be doomed. What's your feeling?
Are we doomed? Well, it's certainly the greatest issue or risk of our time. And, of course, because we're in the northern part of the northern hemisphere where our country is situated, we have to think beyond what our average temperature increases or potentially average parts per million in terms of CO2 in our atmosphere. And Canadians need to get very, very smart about this very quickly. So are we doomed? No. Are there significant benefits from climate change? That's a really exaggerated topic, that one. On the other hand, we are, if you read the papers and you watch some of what's going on in the economy right now, we are looking at what is about, I think to quote the federal government, $500 billion worth of new resource extraction projects in Canada over the next few years, if they happen, and if the licensing process and environmental assessments and economics and money in hand goes forward. So that's a lot of emissions. Every time we start digging in the ground or laying new pipeline or adding to tar sands projects, we are letting loose lots more carbon and lots more emissions. So we're lacking in, at this point, you know, a national water strategy in Canada or national policy on a variety of things to do with climate change. So it's not just the Kyoto Protocol that the federal government's walked away from. We have a bill, a law regarding climate change accountability federally or nationally in Canada that's passed the House of Commons 3 times. And then each time, there's the House has either been prorogued or there's been an election triggered or called. So, you know, I'm basically going to say the same thing about Canadians, and that is I think that Canadians are much more concerned and aware of where we're at in terms of risks and changes from climate change than perhaps our governments. And Canadians are, we really know we're in a big, huge country with all kinds of lands and waters and a small population base. Mm-hmm. And the level of awareness and concern about climate change and effects on our country as a whole is very high. So if you have, if the citizens of the province or the country are ready, and I think they are, then we're not doomed. The question is how to catch up.
Right.
Some of the international experts basically say if we don't, you know, get right in terms of the specific actions and programs and to reduce emissions fast, that we'll be in a situation where governments, including ones who don't really perhaps currently believe climate change is a significant risk, you know, that we'll, again, back to the international experts, that we'll soon be in a situation where there'll be little choice in terms of the kinds of measures that we needed. That's hard to imagine, but it is being said.
Well, unfortunately, we've run into a few snags this morning, and we have run out of time. I have to call Annie before we, or Annie Turton, before we completely run out of time, who is in Durban, to talk about what's happening there.
I'm glad she's there. I'm glad she's blogging.
Yes, me too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And my sympathies, some cold mornings in the winter, there are technical problems. Not to blame it on the cold.
Yeah.
But thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me. And I hope we can continue this conversation actually later on this week.
That's a good idea.
All right.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.